Hello, and welcome to the Keto for Christ podcast. Have you been struggling to have success with keto? Have you tried it in the past, had great results, but somehow life happened and you gained it all back? It's so much more difficult the second time around, am I right? Trust me, friend, I understand and I feel your pain, frustration, and disappointment because that's exactly what happened to me. My name is Cherie Haynes, and I am so passionate about getting the message of keto out into the world. But what if I told you that bringing God into the equation could make all the difference? As Philippians 4:13 states, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." So, do you want to do keto the easy way or the hard way? If you'd like to do keto the easy way, please join me each week as I share simple strategies for keto and as we pray together for the strength and commitment we need to honor this temple God has given us so that we can better serve Him. I believe when we do keto for Christ, success will be inevitable. Let's go ahead and jump into today's show. Hello, love. I have a question for you. Does this sound familiar at all? I've started a new diet for the fifth time this year. I know I'm overweight and I really want to change. I read all the new information, I set goals, I get myself all psyched up with a positive mental attitude and tell myself I can do it. But then I don't. After a few weeks, I fizzle. I just can't seem to keep a promise to myself. That example comes from the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. Well, if you can relate, love, you are definitely not alone. Listen closely to this passage from Romans 7. I'm going to read it very slowly, and please feel free to re-listen to it before continuing, because it does take some time to fully sink in. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whew, that's deep, isn't it? Well, no worries, love. My pastor did an amazing job of explaining this in a message of his titled Habit Part 1, Who Before Do, which I will link for you in the show notes. He has such a great understanding of God's word and really knows how to simplify it and relate it to our current day. So here are his thoughts, and I will be referencing parts of his message throughout this episode. The Apostle Paul says, "I do not understand what I do." For instance, "I do not understand what I do, for I want to stop eating junk food, stop cheating on keto, stop overspending, stop procrastinating." And then he goes on to say, "For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do," meaning I don't want to do the wrong thing, but I continue to do it anyway. With this statement, he is connecting failure to his identity. Does this sound familiar at all? And then later in the passage, he says, "What a wretched man I am." He realizes he is not disciplined and he is not becoming more like Christ. But then he asks the question and we see his thinking shift. "Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" And then he looks to the source, the one and only that can truly answer this, and says, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." Christ is our source. Christ is our strength. Christ is the one who makes all things new. Pastor Craig then posed these questions in his message. Why is it that so many of us genuinely have good intentions? We want to lose weight, get out of debt, stop procrastinating, but we fail again and again and again. Well, there are three reasons we don't succeed when we have good intentions. Number one, we focus on the what, but we don't understand the how. We focus on the action we want to perform, the thing we want to accomplish, but we don't understand how to get there. Number two, we don't see progress fast enough. For example, we eat keto every day for a week, work out each morning at 6 a.m., say no to the cookies and brownies tempting us in the break room at work, eat only the toppings off the pizza when our family orders it Friday night, and then Saturday we get on the scale excited to see that number, and we are only down 1 pound. Then we think, "This doesn't work. Am I right?" Because of that, we tend to make a mistake. We wrongly conclude that small good decisions don't really matter that much. This small God-honoring habit, small faithful decision, good and positive action doesn't really make that big of a difference at all. So the small good decisions don't really move the needle, and the small bad decisions don't really matter that much either. And we miss the truth of what is impacting our lives in massive ways, and that our life is the sum total of all the decisions that we make. Number three, our distorted identity sabotages our success. Our enemy tries to connect our failures to our identity. He tells us, "You failed, so you are a failure. You did bad, so you are bad." That's exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul. As he was recognizing he tried to do what was right and didn't do what was right, so he thought, "What a miserable person I am." Here's what happens. We don't see ourselves as godly, therefore we don't live in a way that is godly, therefore the way we live reinforces the identity that we are not really living for God, and the cycle becomes very, very negative. Pastor Craig made me realize that I have been doing it wrong all my life. I've been focusing way too much on the end goal and what I want to accomplish. But if I don't do some inner work first, I will continue to fail over and over and over again and get the same or similar results. That's why, from now on, we are going to do something quite different. Before we start with the do goals, as we do every time we go to set goals, let's try something new and instead start with the who goals. Why don't we instead ask this question? Who do you want to become? When you know who you are, then you know what the right thing is to do. The do overflows out of the who. So who do you want to be? I'd like to share with you who I want to be. And I want to share the various stages I went through as I worked through this myself. At first, I just brainstormed and recorded some thoughts on the voice memo on my phone. I literally started it by saying out loud to myself, "Who do I want to be? How do I want to be remembered? What do I want people to think of when my name comes to mind?" This isn't something we ask ourselves every day, am I right? Who do I want to be? I want to be someone who has such a strong faith in the Lord that there is never anything to worry or stress about. I have such a strong foundation that I know no matter what, God has this under control, so there is no need for me to stress or be anxious about anything. I want to be someone who exudes God's love, who really understands how much God loves her and tries to just share that love with the world. I know I could never fully magnify love to the extent that God loves us, but I can at least try. I want people to feel love from me, never judgment. I want them to feel comfortable coming to me. I want them to know they can trust me. I want them to know that I believe in them and that I know God has more for them as well. I want people to feel special when they are in my presence. I want to make a point to compliment and find a way to make them feel good and build them up, always leaving them better than when they arrived. I want them to know how important my marriage is to me and to never hear an ill word come out of my mouth about my husband. I want to be known as someone who doesn't complain, who only speaks uplifting, positive words that will bring others up. I want to be someone who honors the temple God has given me, who thinks before putting anything into my mouth and constantly asks myself the question, is this honoring the temple where the Holy Spirit lives? Is this something that is going to improve my quality of life so that I can better serve others? Or is this something that is going to detract from that? I just want to be the type of person that represents Christ, that people know without a shadow of a doubt that I am his faithful servant. I wanted to share this with you because this isn't easy to put into words. I struggled with it myself and want you to know that this is a process. But the more we continue to dig deeper and ask ourselves this question, the more we will fully realize who we truly want to be. As I continue to brainstorm, I realized these are the most important things. First and foremost, I want people to know without a shadow of a doubt how important my faith is and that God is number one in my life. I base all of my decisions around doing things that bring him honor and glory. I want to be a person who exudes love to anyone that is in my presence. I want to be so compassionate towards everyone that they truly feel welcome in my presence and encouraged, no matter what they may be facing. I want to be a loving wife who speaks only uplifting words of encouragement to my husband, someone he loves being around because I bring so much joy to his life. I want to be a compassionate and caring daughter, granddaughter, sister, and friend. I want to honor the temple God has blessed me with and ask myself before putting anything into my mouth, is this honoring the temple where the Holy Spirit lives? Is this going to improve my quality of life so that I can better serve others? Or is this something that is going to detract from that? I want to be extremely generous, not only with my money, but with my most precious commodity, my time. Obviously, I have a lot of work to do to even come close to living up to this person. But I think if we don't state who we want to be, we don't have anything to strive for. In order to help me remember who I want to be, I came up with these words: God honoring, compassionate, uplifting, generous, inspiring, healthy, servant leader, and love. Last week, I talked about love and ended by reading 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. This passage truly embodies the person I want to be. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, love, I encourage you to do the same. I know sometimes it's uncomfortable to dig deep, but again, if we know who we are, we know what to do. So first, ask yourself as I did and brainstorm either on paper or using a voice memo. Who do I want to be? What do I want people to think of when my name comes to mind? How do I want to be remembered? Then from there, try to find the core 3 to 5 things that are most important to you. Then think of some trigger words that remind you of those things. Then pick a Bible verse or verses that embody those things. And then begin your day reading over your words and Bible verse or verses, and possibly even set reminders for yourself throughout the day. Write or print it out nicely and put it somewhere where you will see it often. You could use post-its and put it in several places around your house, such as your bathroom mirror, desk, refrigerator. You could also make it the wallpaper of your phone or your device's home screen. This isn't something that will change overnight, so we must be intentional about what we do in order to form new habits. I think once we truly have a grasp on who we want to be, though, it will make taking the proper action so much easier. Now, I know we've covered a lot today, so please let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, as my dear friend works through answering the question, who do I want to be? please let your presence be made known by allowing your comforting hand to give them the strength and confidence they need to dig deep. Please help them keep this question at the forefront of their minds so that they can make decisions from this place and work towards being the person you have called them to be. In your son's name I pray, amen. Before you go, love, I wanted to remind you that I am a certified health and life coach and would love the opportunity to work with you one-on-one if there's something that you're struggling with. Sometimes if we are able to dig a little deeper into your personal situation, we can get to the root of the problem together. If you'd like more information, please send me an email at healthcoach.shariehaines@gmail.com. Bye for now, and I hope you have a blessed week in the Lord.